I'm Jamie Seeker, and this is What It Takes. Each episode, I sit down with real business owners to talk about their journey, the wins, the challenges, and everything in between. Let's dive in.
Hey, friends. Welcome back to another episode of What It Takes. We are the show where we sit down with founders, dreamers, and doers to find out what it really takes to build something meaningful. Today, we've got someone whose brain moves at the speed of the future. I'm talking about Ajay Malik, CEO of Studio X, and he's based out of San Jose, California. He's a technologist, a business futurist, and one of the most prolific inventors you probably never heard of. Over 100 patents to his name, guys. Ajay's led engineering and architecture at some of the biggest names in tech, Google, Cisco, HP, Motorola, and now he's pioneering how businesses adopt AI through Studio X. He's also written 4 books. Yes, that's 4, including First God, Then Man, Now AI. So buckle up. We're going to go deep on innovation, legacy, and the real cost of leading change. So let's get into it. Hello.
Hello. Hey, thanks for having me here.
Oh, Ajay, you've been part of some of the most influential tech companies in the world. Like I mentioned in the intro, what made you take the leap into starting your own ventures?
Oh, I am one of those guys who has to work 120 hours a week and not 9 to 5.
Clearly, you hold over 100 patents.
Yeah, I'm a geek. I enjoy, but I have a geek side of me, right? Where I just like work and that's my life. But I also enjoy the business. I have to have that freedom and build something and create something.
Oh, that's great. So let's talk about those patents a little bit. What drives your creative process too? You clearly are driven and put in the work, but when you're inventing something new, what does that look like?
Wow. I think it all started when I was working for some companies. And I think it was, you know, like a sense of like you're creating something. It goes beyond your resume, right? Like it's beyond the normal that you are creating something and then somebody is recognizing it and it's like, oh, it's unique in the world, you know? So I think then it's like a catch-22. You really start liking that thing that, oh, wow, I created this and somebody else put a stamp on it. Yes, this is unique and new. And I think then you get into that mode whenever you are creating, you want to do even better than before. So,
yes, it's addicting, huh?
It's addicting. 100%.
So let's talk about Studio X then. What problem were you solving with getting into that? And then what's been the biggest surprise in building that venture?
Oh, wow. So, you know, when I was in Google, we were doing AI, not even calling it AI. We were like forecasting, predicting, talking about it in a very generic terms, okay? Machine learning and all. Until like now, the AI is so hot in last 3 years, right? Like you can ask anybody, everybody knows AI, right? At least they have heard the term, whether they know how it works or not. But people are like, I can write emails using that, okay? So when I was with Google, it was amazing. I really liked it. I really got fascinated what we were doing. You know, like we were looking at the network traffic and predicting that how much traffic will grow. Because then you have to have your data centers capabilities, capacity to be ready. You cannot just put more servers and more wires and more power in one day. It takes time. It takes months to put everything. So you have to predict, you have to anticipate the future. And I really liked it. And I was like, you know what? This capability that I can see the future or at least forecast it, predict it, I want that capability available to businesses, small businesses, so that they can do better. You know, like they don't like, hey, they don't end up putting more inventory than they need to, or they are ready when the time comes. You know, it's like having it's a pretty good capability when you can kind of see the future, where it's going, and then you can do course correction if you need to, or you can change things. That's why I started Studio X, that I want to bring AI to the masses. That was the idea.
That's great. And being in that space, I'd imagine And you've been in it for quite some time. Where do you see the ethical line in AI development? And how do you approach that with your own company? Because I'm sure that's a challenge that you've got in there.
Huge issue. So the AI has two parts, okay? One part of the AI is classical AI, like which is working on your own data. You are trying to forecast. That's like the 70% of AI is that. Although everybody thinks now generative AI and the ChatGPT AI is the only AI. But, that's only one part of AI.
And that's like the newest, really. Like you said, it's been around for quite some time. Oh, yeah. But that this is the one that kind of brought it to the masses, sure.
That's how everybody understood. Oh, this is what
this is what it is. Yeah.
Yes. And the AI, when you are working, and these guys, a lot of companies are working, you know what they did is, right, they put all the world knowledge, okay, all the books, all the patents, all the information, right? You put it, okay, this is, I will explain you the ethical challenge, and I think you will see what I'm talking about. So now imagine a large language model or the ChatGPTs of the world. They have built knowledge based on all the knowledge. Now you ask a question that, hey, I'm designing this. Can you help me? Mm-hmm. It has the data. It has the knowledge. It will provide the design. That design may be using somebody else's patent. You don't know. And the AI just gave you that design. And now you use it. Now you have a problem. You are either using somebody else's IP without even knowing. Somebody handed over. It's like, buying a fake Gucci purse, right?
Without even knowing it. Yeah.
Without even knowing it, right? If I know at least. And this is where the boundary has crossed. Like, they opened a shop and without explaining that I'm selling stolen goods, you have stolen goods.
Yeah, absolutely. How do you navigate through that? Because now you've got Studio X.
Yes. So
operating on those same, foundational things. Hey, we've got to give it all the data.
Yeah.
So that it can predict it better.
Yeah. You are so right, right? So what you do is, first of all, in Studio X, we do something a little bit different. Okay. So we have a whole concept of that you use only your data for knowledge. So run it on your private, like on your premise or you're in a private cloud account. But you know what? It's only your documents, your knowledge, your information. So nothing from the rest of the worldly knowledge. Because the worldly knowledge in these LLMs is the one which is polluted. But non-worldly knowledge is good. That's your knowledge, right? So the answer will not be using the worldly knowledge, but it is using only your knowledge, your data, your documents, and that protects you, okay? The second thing is, do not use these tools for coding or designs. Like, use them for coding, but not for design. The difference is you cannot use somebody else's design pattern without even knowing it. You have to think what you want to do. It is easy, okay? It's very easy. It's there. It's like the buffet where you can go and eat it, and it's so easy to eat. But at the end, it hurts you. So at least it hurts me. I gain weight so much.
Those buffets, they get you every time.
Yeah, right? And that's the thing. They are offering it, and you don't even know. So do not, I always tell somebody, do not, you know what, you cannot ask for the design, the algorithm, the pattern. How to do it is not something you can use them. Use them for things which will be about not design, because you will run into somebody's patent, you will use it, and one day you will get sued. You will get sued badly. Okay, that is the problem.
It's the risk.
Yeah. And we're on that forefront too. So we're not seeing the consequences of that yet, but we will. I mean, it's not a matter of like if that's going to come. It's going to come, and you don't want to be the one on the receiving end of it.
You do not want to be. Yeah. And I just saw, right, I think last week, Midjourney got lawsuit from a couple of companies, right? So it will happen. People will start suing them because they're using their knowledge, copyright information without even their permission. It's like, somebody did a lot of hard work. Are you going to just steal it? I'm a software guy, so to me, I don't like that concept.
Yeah, I think most people if faced with that, would choose not to. Yeah. I think certainly there are people that would, but
they don't disclaim it. You know, that's the sad part. They say, I may be like on ChatGPT or Claude or all the messages, the information answer may be incorrect, rather than saying answer may have somebody else's intellectual property. Oh, it should say that. That should be the disclaimer.
Mm, yeah.
Right? Oh, I know, right? That disclaimer is incorrect. The disclaimer is not talking about the ethics. That is the challenge. People don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
And how do you go to somebody and say, do you know that the information...
You don't know what you don't know.
Yes, you don't know. And most people don't know. And they are just using it because... And they are paying for it. Maybe $20, $40, $200 per month. So for them, they are buying paid goods.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, absolutely. I have paid subscriptions to AI as well. We utilize that in our companies and stuff. So absolutely. And with the expectation that we're operating in good faith, right? You know, we're entering into these subscriptions and things like that, just assuming that. So that's so tough. And you don't even know that you don't have permission to have the information in there. So that's a very good tip, listeners, that he is giving us with his permission. You've successfully exited companies, led public entities, things like that. What tips or how do you weigh, when you're talking about this stuff, opportunity that you see, because we're very clearly in this space, there's so much opportunity versus legacy. And I think that might be where the, you know, that ethical stuff that we're talking about here kind of is a balance there. How do you weigh opportunity versus legacy when you're approaching these things?
I think you have to be, I think the morals, the principles, the disciplines of your life, you have to make sure you are following them, whatever you do. Opportunity doesn't mean it is at any cost or every cost, you know? But opportunity is there, and opportunity should be considered, and we have to work in that direction. I think you have to be more creative, figure out how to do this. You know, you cannot be just like, I don't think that it's an opportunity to steal somebody else's stuff and pass it on. That's not an opportunity. I think the opportunity is you can use it for something really useful. AI can, it is amazing. The power of AI is huge. You know, somebody last week told me, we are not struggling much more. So is that good for us, as like we are using AI too much? And I'm like, the person was like, the AI is, how will we learn if we are not struggling? How will we learn if we are not doing all those things? But although I don't believe in that, I don't think struggle means... Struggle is, it's like this, telling somebody, you can't see very well, but you need to struggle and walk without glasses. That's how you will learn more. No, I don't want to have people to struggle unnecessarily. Okay? There is no need. AI is just a capability. It's like Google search. I don't want to use Google search. I will find where the next pizza is or whatever myself. No, I don't have to struggle. Remove the struggle so I can think better. Okay, so use the AI for thought. So there is an opportunity to use AI, and we ourselves are doing, like, my personal productivity is 20-25 times more than what it was without using AI. And my dependence on a lot of things is gone. It's very interesting. I am so lucky that we are doing all this and I'm enjoying it. I think.
I love that.
And everybody should have this. Most world does not even, you know, it's sad. A very large part of the world still does not have internet access.
Yeah.
So I think we have to somehow bring that AI to them. And I think it will make it, because people will see that. Because you know what? Think of a lot of people. They are like working there every day, working very hard. They don't even have time to learn how to grow, get out of that loop so that they can do something for themselves or their families. I think AI gives that opportunity to everybody, because they can remove some work or reduce some effort, make it more efficient, save some time so that they can grow in some dimension. And people have ideas. I have seen that the same people, when they become free, they are suddenly thinking some things which you never thought, wow, that's an amazing idea. That's good. We should do that.
Yeah, yeah, I like that. And I like the whole being in your own cycle thing and having opportunities for growth. And what kind of resources such as AI or other things can you pull in to kind of kick you out of that cycle and continue to grow?
Yes. Yeah. People are stuck in that. I feel bad.
And you figured this out. I mean, you're utilizing all of your resources because you're clearly like, you know, like you said, your productivity levels and things. And so I want to talk about how that applies in your seat, like running a business and not specifically necessarily like the industry per se, like in AI or whatever, but how have you approached something that you have to do in that seat, like financial planning or something like that, from like launching startups to leading exits? Those are all things that you've had to do. Have you approached that throughout your career?
So throughout, I tell you, the biggest thing that happens with AI, the removal of dependence on somebody with the right skill. Okay. I don't have a lot of skills. And probably I have a very large number of skills, which I don't have. But I have an AI assistant who has all the skills. And it's available to work with me all the time, every time, without any even attitude or time issue or anything. It's always there working for me. And you know what? And if I don't like where it's going, I just start a new chat. So
hey, you heard it here, folks. Right? You don't need to know everything, right? Like, let's identify the things that you're good at and maybe stay there. And the things that you don't, let's figure out a resource to do it for you. That's actually really good sound advice.
I you know, 2 years back, we made a company policy. We said, skill is no more a differentiator because everybody has a one employee working for them now who has skills. That's the AI. Use it. Everybody is now a manager because you have one employee working for you who has all the knowledge and the skill. You never have to go and say, oh, can you do this and this and this, do this into cash flow and figure this out and look at this and analysis. Oh, I have no idea. That is how normally people will say. Or if you ask me, I will say, I have no idea. I am not. And, you know, the book, accounting, spreadsheets, I dread them. But now I don't. I will just type it out. And
I will get the right answers.
And suddenly I can do that. And you know what? And I don't have to depend upon it. I will ask it. I will ask ChatGPT, I will ask Claude, I will go to V0, I will go to 3-4 Grok, I will go ask multiple opinions on all of them, and suddenly after 30 minutes, I have the best possible answer because I have got advice of like 5-6 different ways.
So here you guys go. If you're a founder and you are paying, let's say, a financial advisor, you've got so many other resources here that are right at your fingertips that probably are going to give you a pretty workable strategy or plan to
100%.
You know, 100%. Right here at your fingertips. That this stuff, you know, and we're not really, I think that we're just on the cusp of utilizing AI in our businesses in those sense, like, you know, when it comes to making financial decisions, when it comes to forecasting, planning, but that's really what this technology is. That's exactly what it's, you know, programmed to do, is forecasting. So even like when you're typing in things, it's really trying to guess what the response should be and all that kind of stuff. But numbers and forecasting, and when it comes to financials, oh gosh, like these are financial concepts, and we're not like you said, somebody that doesn't have an emotional attachment to whatever it is that you're doing, and they're not going to give you attitude about it, and they're going to tell you the truth. There's not going to be any kind of cloud like, hey, you really need to do XYZ, even if it's something that you don't necessarily want to hear. Gosh, if I had that advice early on, I think it would have made things a lot easier. Did you have any hard lessons that kind of reshaped your thinking? I mean, I know that you're in this tech space, so you probably were already like always there, but was there anything hard that you kind of came across financially that you were like, you had to have, you've had so many, you know, so many experiences. I know that this really, whether you have funding, you know, budget running out, things like that, like that's going to shape the direction that you go.
Expenses. You know, I have a, personally, I always had to like do whatever is necessary, right? But that can be expensive, right? And you keep doing it and you hire people, so the costs can bloat up. And you know what? And sometimes people do not tell you the right information. Your books do not tell the information. And if you are somebody like me, numbers, okay, you give me a chance to write code versus look at the number. Guess what I will do? I will write the code. I have zero interest in looking at the spreadsheet, right? And even if, and you lose money in those things. But now you know what happens, and this is where I like AI. And you know what? And I tell you, this is an advice for everybody who has a company or startup or trying to build it, founder or anything. In AI, what you have is not a AI assistant, not a co-pilot. You have a co-founder.
Oh.
Yes, use AI as your co-founder who will do everything which you don't do.
And oh my gosh. That's great. We're gonna go right into our signature question from that, because I think that's actually like just that perspective shift is I'm already kind of feeling that a little bit in how I use it, how I look at it. I definitely look at it as more of an assistant than I do as a foundational way, but I use it more, you know, as kind of a brainstorm and a way to kind of have a back and forth, you know, dialogue about things when I'm not discussing these things with other people in the company. So yeah, I think that's kind of a mind blown thing for me. So I'm going to shift to our signature question. And I'm like, what are you going to say with this? Because you have such a unique perspective from this space. So what do you tell us, what does it take to be a business owner in today's world from your perspective?
So make AI mandatory. If people are not, you know, like I do that, you know, if somebody asks a question, I say, okay, before you ask a question, share your conversation with the AI. What did you try to do and how you try to solve the problem? Because if you're asking a question, because I am not intelligent, I'm not like know everything. Okay.
Stop it. You are certainly intelligent. Look at everything you've been able to do.
No.
But you've maximized that by utilizing your resources,
yes,
I think.
Use it. Like, don't come to me asking me a question. Guess what I will do? I will go to ChatGPT and ask. So why are you not doing it? You know, do it yourself. Part of your homework is, if you are stuck on anything, mandate AI in your company. Every employee must use AI, all conversations. They should be sharing the links for their AI conversations. And one very important thing, you know, I am really big on this, what is called prompt engineering. Okay. Mm. I am like, so like people have to learn this. I tell this. In fact, I just wrote a book on this. Like, I call it You, the Interface. Like, I say that the feature, the next big feature that is happening in the world is not in the iPhone or Android or laptop or some device. It's you, how you use the AI. You are, you can take AI anywhere. You can get any answer out of it. You have to stop thinking of it as an assistant. Use it as your advisor, your mentor, your personal psychiatrist, personal discussion, everything. Just use it and also use it for teamwork. A lot of people are not doing that. They should share their prompt with each other. In the team, they should work together on common prompt so that people can actually figure out and how to use AI, and everybody's built-in knowledge is going together. Make AI mandatory, using AI as a team, AI prompting together. I tell you, every founder will feel like, oh, my company is doing next level.
That's so good. Yes.
I think we will see so many companies doing 25 million revenue in two people plus AI.
Mm, yeah. Well, you heard it here. I really think that we are I am seeing it, and I'm seeing it because we work with many different business owners, and the use of AI internally in companies are really shaping how they make decisions. It makes a daily impact on me. I've used it. I don't even know how many hours I've logged on it today. Just in so many different, completely different conversation streams on a bunch of different stuff. So I think that that's really, really good advice. First one to give it so far on this podcast. So you get to wear that crown. But everybody from inventing the future to asking the biggest questions and where it's all headed, I think this has been actually quite a ride for me. I'm completely excited about it. For our listeners that maybe want to learn more about you or your company, where can they find you?
LinkedIn. LinkedIn is the best way. Reach out to me on LinkedIn and I always respond. They can book time with me. I have 30minutes.com account. That's like Calendly. So use that. Book some time with me. And I tell you, I have time. I don't have the problem because you know what? I use AI. I have a lot more time in my hand.
So. Oh, that's great. That's great. And you can find them too on studiox-ai.com.
Yes.
Yeah. And also you're on Instagram as well. So we can definitely share that in our show notes. And we'll be back next week with more stories from the front lines of entrepreneurship. Until then, keep going, keep building. And don't forget, it's not just about what you do. It's about what it takes. And we'll see you next time.
Very nice. Very nice. Thank you.
This podcast is brought to you by Seeker Solution. Are you a business owner feeling overwhelmed? We can help. Head over to seekersolution.com to schedule a call today. Would you or someone you know like to be featured on this podcast? Our applications are now open. Apply today at seekersolution.com and click on the podcast link to get started.